Amen. Come, Brother Al.
Presence of the Lord this morning, don't you?
Amen.
Appreciate that good preaching. Good to be at Richlands again.
Yes, it is.
Amen. Bill, we've enjoyed the preaching. Love the Horton family. Precious, precious, precious folks.
Amen.
We appreciate them. Appreciate all the folks here, though. Appreciate all the good preachers and all the good preaching that we have heard. And it's just good to be in camp meeting. And we always look forward. We've been coming this the sixth year. Of course, my granddaddy come years ago. We heard about Richlands, but we didn't know what Richlands was. But granddaddy came, and now we're coming. We appreciate the Lord. And it'd been all right. Me, if he'd have took 20 minutes of my time, but since he didn't. If the Lord will come by, we'll preach this morning. You know, we can't do nothing without the Lord anyhow. We ain't nothing. I ain't nothing. If he don't come by, we'll be a failure, but I believe he will. I believe he will. Turn with me to Acts, the 16th chapter, if you will. Good to have my sis down with me again this year. Amen. Acts, the 16th chapter, if you have your Bibles. You ought to have brought them. Amen. Just going to read one verse of Scripture or two, maybe in Acts 16:25. Familiar Scripture. I heard Brother Moore, and boy, I've enjoyed Brother Moore's preaching. And Brother Moore came by years and years and years ago, I guess 30 years ago or 35, two or three years ago, after the church there at Elkton, Virginia, preached there. And my brother was getting up. He looked just a little bitty thing. He's just a little boy, and I'm 5 years older than he is. Singing with a guitar, just a little old cheap, no good thing. Brother Moore raised $15 at the church there and brought my brother, my little brother, which only brother I got, a guitar. And they went down to Lawrence Lamb's store and bought that little old bitty half-size guitar, I guess it was, $15 or whatever it was. You never know what things. I didn't know him. And then when I didn't know him at that time, I just a little bitty tot, but I do remember him coming by during them years. Well, he touched me the other night when he preached on just a few words, with that message, just a few words, and that touched me. Didn't it touch you?
Yes, sir.
Amen. Touch me. Amen. Let's read. And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God. And the prisoners heard them, and suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken. And immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. Familiar Scripture tonight, or this morning. I'll probably call it tonight more than one time. I ain't used to preaching this early in the morning. But I want to preach on what will you do at midnight. I know I've preached it before, but that's what I want to preach. I felt like I wanted to, and got up early this morning. I ain't bragging, just telling you I did. And had a talk with the Lord, and that's what I felt like I wanted to preach. What will you do at midnight? Amen. What will you do at midnight? What will you do at midnight?
Right.
There's going to come some midnights. I'll preach here in a minute if the Lord will come by. But there's going to come some midnights. In everybody's life, there comes some midnights.
Right.
Always will. You can't get by without having midnights in your life. Amen. There's going to come some times when things are not going to go so smooth for you. Things are going to go bad for you. And you ain't going to see the light at the end of the tunnel. Sometimes, you get down to pray and it seems like 5 minutes. We can pray right on through heaven and go right on for the Lord, can't we? Then other times we get down, there's hours goes by that we feel like We haven't reached the throne yet. Amen. And those times are midnights. Now, there's some going to come some midnights in your life, and just be patient. We'll get there in a minute. There'll come some midnights in your life. Amen. There's always, nothing's going to run smooth all the time. Things are going to run rough sometimes. But it ain't how many rough times you have. It's what you do in the rough times. Amen. I'm glad I was in the Army, and they taught us. When Fort Bragg, we ran the same track that the Marines ran. I maybe wasn't as bad as the Marine, but I was bad enough. And we ran that same track. And they said, when it gets tough, the tough get going. Amen. And they taught us not to never quit. And it ain't bad to go through midnights, but it's bad when you quit when you go through midnights. Amen. I looked in Acts the 12th chapter, and I looked, and Peter is in prison. Herod's son got him there. They've already killed James, his brother, and they're going to kill him if they can. Amen. Amen. They're going to do it. They got four soldiers, all four watches guarding him. Amen. They're going to take his life. But the Bible said that the church wouldn't let them do it. Amen. The Bible said that the church prayed, but prayer was made without ceasing of the church to God for him. And don't you know that during Peter's midnight crisis, that the doors of that jail rolled open, and Peter walked out, and when he went down and knocked on the door, they didn't even believe that he had been let out. I want you to know that it ain't bad to go through the midnight, but if you got God, and we can have God, God never leaves us nor forsakes us. And he said, "Lo, I be with you always, even unto the end of the world." And I'm glad today that I serve him. Aren't you? Let the midnights come. If God's for me, who can be against me? If God let it get black as the night, let it get as black and dark as it can be. But if God will be with me, I can walk with my chin up and shout the victory. Though hell runs down my back door and the devil camps all right on in my bedroom. Amen. Hallelujah. Help me, Lord. Hallelujah. 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 I'll preach to you in a minute. Paul was talking to Timothy in 2 Timothy. He's writing to him. You know he's fixing to go through a crisis. His head's fixing to come off. He's fixing to die. Amen. What a crisis it is. Instead of pouting and complaining and mumbling and grumbling and going through all those things we do sometimes, Paul's getting his pen out. He's fixing to say out and write what is one of the greatest things that he ever wrote. Amen. Amen. In 2 Timothy 4:1, he's charging Timothy, amen, to be instant in season and out of season. How in the world can you do it if you're fixing to go through a crisis? I tell you how you can do it. Something bubbles up inside. The Holy Ghost bubbles up inside and tells you that if God's for you, you let the devil and everybody else be against you. Charging him in 4:1. In 4:6, in 4:7, he said, "I've fought a good fight. I want to fight a good fight. I've finished my course, and I've kept the faith." Hallelujah. In verse 4:8, he's obtaining a crown of righteousness, going through a midnight, but telling Timothy to press on. Brother, they're going to come. But I'm telling you this morning, we're more than conquerors. I said more, not just conquerors, but more than conquerors through him that first loved us. Hallelujah. 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 I feel the Lord running up and down my backbone. Amen. Hallelujah. I know I'm going to go. I've been through some here in 91. First part of 91, amen, for 7 or 8 months. Whoa, what we going through about? I can tell you now, because it is over. Hallelujah. I don't believe in getting up and grumbling and telling your problems. I believe that God's better than that, Brother Ralph. Hallelujah. I believe he is. And for 7 or 8 months, we went through a battle. I mean to tell you, everything broke down. Everything went bad. I never seen so much trouble in all my life. But oh, I stand in the church one morning praying right here. And the Lord spoke to me and said, son, you're going through it, but I'm going to bring you out. I'm going to bring you out. And lo and behold, at them almost at the end of that trial and test, 6 got the Holy Ghost in the church, and 2 of them was my daughters. Hey, that's midnight's going to come, but I want you to know that I can shout the victory through the midnight crisis. Oh, don't drop your head down and let the devil know that he's getting a hold of you. But jack your head up, pull your chest out, and shout the victory for the Lord. Oh, yes, we can do it by the grace of God. We can go through the midnight crisis and be overcomers for God. Yeah. Yeah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Paul and Silas. Yeah. They ain't done nothing bad. Somebody said, well, why is it always me? I'm only up preaching the gospel, fasting 25 times a week. I don't know the 25 times, but fasting a lot. Hallelujah. And I'm living for the Lord's best kin. Why has it always got to be me? Well, why did Paul and Silas go to jail? Just for preaching the gospel, that's all. Amen. Just for living for the Lord, that's all. Amen. Just for doing what they know is right, that's all. And suddenly, amen, they begin at the midnight hour. They begin to sing and praises and pray and sing praises unto the Lord. I'm going to tell you right now that if you'll do what you need to do, sing and pray and fast, there ain't no devil can hold you in jail. They may throw you in the innermost prison and lock you in the stocks and bonds, but God's a stocks and bond breaker. He'll unlock the prison and let you go free. Hey, come here, let me tell you. Come here, let me tell you that if God is in the prison, you'll still shout the victory even in the prison house. Yeah. There's what comes to midnight. There's what comes to midnight. Amen. Little girl and boy at the church, she became, I don't know what y'all say, pregnant or a child or what, but anyway, she had a baby. And they had trouble. They had trouble. Good kids in our church. The boy didn't know nothing about Pentecost. Didn't know dumb as a box of rocks. As far as going learning God.
Come on, brother.
Came into church and got saved. Cleaned up, didn't even have to preach on it. He just cleaned up. I mean, it's amazing what God can do. But somebody will let him do it. You ain't really got to preach it. If you just let God do it, you clean up without preaching. I mean, you'd be convicted already before the preacher got up to preach. Hallelujah. That ain't part of my message, but that's true anyhow. And so he got just cleaned right up. Amen. They were married a year and a half, 2 years, and they wanted a child. And so God blessed them. And right there, 22 weeks into the pregnancy, she began to have problems. No! How we went to the hospital and we prayed and couldn't touch the Lord. So they took her to the university hospital and we went over there and we prayed. Felt like we touched the Lord. Felt like we did. And when everything stopped, the pain, no, stopped, it looked like she was just have to carry them 3 more weeks. And if she could carry them 3 more weeks, they could probably save them. Pound 13 ounces and a pound 3 ounces and 13 and a half ounces. 2 little girls, twins they were. Amen. And went through the crisis. And I looked like we prayed and God touched her. She went to sleep and rested. I left the house. I left the the hospital. Looked like everything was gone. That evening, got a call. Vicky's worse. I run back over to University Port. It's about almost an hour's drive. Amen. To the hospital. Got there. And they were preparing to take those, or to let her have those children. Amen. Premature. You don't think that was a midnight crisis? Oh, yes, it was. A midnight in their life. Amen. The kid of the big old, a strong, tall, raw bone boy. Amen. 23 or 4 years old. I'm just a horse of a guy. Amen. Stood there as I put my arms around him and pinched all up and his muscles in his jaw moved. I knew him. I know him. I knew what he was thinking. And I went home and told my wife, if he doesn't get in touch with God soon, he's going to blame God for taking his two babies. What a midnight crisis. What a time. What a time to be in. I felt so sorry for him. Amen. I didn't know what to do. I didn't know what to do. What nothing I could do. Amen. I didn't understand it. Why God took the children. But God understands, and that's all that matters. Amen. Kenneth. So I told my wife and I went home. And the next day I went back over there. Walked in the room and Kenneth was gone. And everybody was gone except Vicky. And the first thing I said was, how are you? And she looked at me and smiled and busted out a crying and just laid it all on me. After she finished, I said, how's Kenneth? She said, Kenneth is fine. During the night, Kenneth prayed through to a victorious experience again. And when he walked in the room after him eating the evening's dinner, the first thing I seen was a smile on his face. I just lost two babies. I buried them 2 days later. Amen. Just lost two little girls. Pretty as a speckle pup. I mean, they were beautiful little kids. That was a midnight crisis. Oh, yes, he could have blamed God. He could have got bitter. He could have got it. But he didn't get bitter. He went back to God. He found out that God is a God in the bad times, as good as a God in the good times. He went back in the midnight crisis and found God again. Yeah. What will you do at midnight?
What will you do at midnight?
What will you? You know, we say that fast. What will you do? But anyway, what will you do at midnight? At midnight. When it comes midnight. Amen. What will you do? Amen. Hallelujah. I don't know who your pastors are, but they're out of town now. What will you do at midnight? You can't get a hold of Brother Northern. What will you do at midnight? Hallelujah. What will you do at midnight? What will you do at midnight? Hallelujah. There's a lot of things we do at midnight. You can crawl back up and to feel sorry for yourself and sit on the seat and say, if it wouldn't have been for such and such and so, I wouldn't have been where I'm at. Hallelujah. Well, such and such and so may have had something to do with it, but you ain't got to stay there. You ain't got to stay there. What will you do at midnight? The cry went out. Amen. There was a cry went out. Behold, the bridegroom come. Go ye out to meet him. At midnight, there's a cry. Hallelujah. The virgins rose up, 10 of them. The virgins, the Bible said. Amen. All of them were virgins. So they must have been virtuous. Hallelujah. 5 were wise and 5 were foolish. I believe the 5 that were wise and foolish were also wise at one time. I believe they had the oil in their lamp. If I read it right and know right, and I believe they had the oil, but somewhere along the line, before midnight, they let it all leak out. Who knows what their problem was? Was it sins of commission? Was it sins of omission? Who knows what it was? I don't know. Was it just plain out, just didn't watch their lamps? I don't know what it was, but sometime There came a cry, and they rose up to meet the bridegroom. And when they did, they found that their lamps were not trimmed and burning. What will you do when the cry goes? Amen. We're fussing and fighting over when the tribulation comes, and when we're going home, when the rapture takes place, or the coming of the Lord, or the catching away of the bride, or however else you say it. Amen. We're fussing and fighting over things that's stupid. Amen. But what will you do when the midnight comes? I guarantee you, we'll all agree that the Lord's going to come back sometime at a twinkling of an eye, at the shadow, at the great sound of that trumpet. He's going to come back. We'll agree to that, won't we? Yes, we will. And if it comes at whatever time it comes, that's going to be a midnight to some of you. Will you be ready? Will you be ready to go? What will you do at midnight? At midnight. What will you do at midnight? Hallelujah. Now you ain't shouting now, because I'm going to preach to you now. Amen. What will you do at midnight? Amen. Hallelujah. What will you do? I believe that we're called Christians because we're supposed to be Christ-like. Amen. And in order to be Christ-like, you must pattern yourself after Jesus Christ. It's so hard. So many things to do. It's not hard, but so many things that we must do to pattern ourselves after Him. But one day I see Him, amen, as He deposits His disciples right there, right in the side of the garden. And He says, well, just watch. They stay here while I pray. Amen. And He goes. That's about midnight. Amen. He gets down on his knees and he prays. Come back and goes a little farther. Drops down on his knees again and prays. Goes a little farther. And he drops down on his knees. And he says, Father, if it be thy will, let this cup pass from me. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Amen. Can I tell you, there's a midnight. He was in a crisis hour. He must overcome the flesh. He must overcome the world before he can go to the cross and be crucified and be raised again. He must overcome there in the garden. And so he goes a little farther and he cries out, Father, let it pass from me. Nevertheless, Lord, not my will but thine be done. The other day, oh yes, the other month, about a month and a half ago, I got discouraged. Not discouraged, not the word. I got concerned. And I said, Lord, put me on the wheel and break me down again and mold me down again. And sure enough, He's been doing it. It ain't been easy. It ain't been easy. I almost wish I hadn't told Him. Hallelujah. But He broke me down. I want you to know, unless we break on down and get in the will of God, midnight will creep up on us. We'll not be able to go through victorious. We must be broken down again. Yeah. What will you do at midnight? What will you do? 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 You and you and you. What will you do at midnight? It's going to come. Sure enough. Sure enough. It's going to come. It's going to come. It's going to come to your house. The same as it's at my house. Yeah. It's going to come the midnight. Oh, yes it will. Yes it will. Yes it will. Yes it will. Oh, yes. Somebody said, look at that great man. Look at him preach. Not me, but somebody else. I ain't no great man. Look at that great man. Look at him preach. Look how great he preaches. Yeah. But you don't understand. He got up in the midnight hour and prayed through. Somebody said, he don't seem like he's got any problems at all. But you don't understand. He got up this morning and he prayed through the victory. Ha! Yeah. Amen. Somebody said, don't. Look at how happy they are all the time. But you don't understand. They got midnight too. But you see, the darkness ain't no darkness. If the light of that city, the Son of God, which is the light, is with you. Amen. In Him is no darkness. Oh, yeah. go. There's no darkness in the Lord. You see, we have our midnights, but we go and pray through and get the victory of God. And then midnight becomes midday. Hallelujah. Midnight turns into light. Amen. It's dark all around, but the light of God still shines. And we got victory because that we have the Lord in our soul. Amen. Close here in a minute. We'll close in a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Came, we had a Russian feller come to our church and couldn't speak English. Didn't have to. He felt the power of God. Hallelujah. Said, but he had a friend that spoke English. This Russian guy was an older man. Drug him in. Left side was paralyzed. Drug him in. Like this. He couldn't put his hand in his pocket. Couldn't put his hand on his head. Couldn't run. Couldn't walk without somebody helping him. Real crisis for him. Real crisis. God moved that night. Had a special service. Gave the altar call. We had a good altar call. Altar call was almost over. And we see people that are in their crises all the time. All the time they're in crises. Amen. Oh, one crisis after another. Amen. But he was in one. He came up and through his Russian friend, he said, tell them that I want what that man said at the gate got on the when Peter and John went up after Pentecost. Hallelujah, Brother Moore. After Pentecost. And I said, when he did that, I said, oh, hallelujah, Lord. I sure ain't got. You gonna have to do this, amen. You know how we are. We put on the spot sometime, but if you pray through, ain't no spot. No. It depends on how you look at it. Somebody said, boy, I'm in a tight place. No, you're already in a loose place because the Lord's with you. Amen. The devil seems like he's tightened it up. But if you walk with the Lord, you walk in his footsteps and there ain't no tight places. Amen. He's been everywhere we've been and back and forth. And he said, I want that blind man, that laid at the gate called beautiful, I want what he got. And the church laid hands on him. And I'm telling you what the fact is now. He leaped up from that place where he was at and went running across the church. Amen. Stuck his hands in his pocket. Stuck his hands on his head. And looked at his wife and was amazed. Amen. A crisis. But God is a God of crisis. God is the God of the midnight hour. Hey. Come on now. You know God's a God. We have let the devil beat us around like a bunch of whipped puppies with our tails stuck between our legs. But I'm telling you tonight that God's still a God that answers by fire. He's still a God that has the fire. He's still a God in the midnight hour. Hallelujah. 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 I will tell you. Hallelujah. See if I'm glad. Hallelujah. I will tell you, he's a God of the midnight hour. Yeah. Yeah. You see, he's the God of the midnight hour. My boy is out playing in the yard. He's 21. He just got married Saturday. Crazy thing? No. I married him. Crazy thing. Amen. Just got married to a good girl. Sweet little girl. Pretty thing. I mean, looks like almost like his mommy. And the prettiest thing that God ever put breath in. His mommy is. I'm sorry, Brother Moore. You and Brother Ralph. Brian was out playing in the yard with a bunch of boys, just a bunch of his cousins. And he jumped up in the air and come back down his ankle. And broke it. Or it felt like it sounded like it broke. It thing swelled up immediately. Cracked and popped when he came back down on it. Turned it. He came to church that Sunday night. Or whatever night it was. Saturday night. Whatever. And he came into church. On crutches. Hurting bad. You see. He is my boy. Hurt me worse than it did him. Seemed like that. I'm fixing clothes. And I told him. And he said, "Daddy, what do we pray for?" And we prayed for him. And he came in on crutches. Could not put his weight on his foot at all. What a crisis. Had to work tomorrow. We believe in working back home every day of the week. I mean, 5 days a week or whatever your work day is. We believe in working. And, you know, paying your bills and working. Both of them goes hand in hand. You can't hardly pay your bills. You don't work. We tried to steal in him like Daddy did us that you got to work. And he had to go to work Monday. They're just making not very good wages. So we called the church up. We laid hands on him. And the power of God slayed him out back on the floor. And when he got up, he had no sign of swelling in his foot. He had no sign of a hurt in his foot. He got up and carried his crutches out of the church off a broken ankle coming in and a healed ankle going out. Somebody said, "You're bragging." Oh, yeah, I am. On the one that can hear and answer prayer in the midnight hour. Hallelujah. Been a many a time that we called on the Lord for our babies. Brian run a temperature so high that we thought he was going to die. Hey, too poor to call, too poor to have a doctor. Amen. And didn't know what to do for him. Put him in hot, cold water, in ice cubes, and it wouldn't bring it down. In the midnight hour, I called on the Lord, and that temperature went down. He began to sweat. Amen. And God brought it down. Amen. So high that he about to burn you when you laid your hand on his skin. That was a midnight hour, but God's been through it. God's helped me through all of them. God's kept me every time that I ever called on his name. The Lord's kept me. I want you to know, I don't care if the midnight comes, as long as I can take the Lord and go through the midnight crisis. What will you do at midnight?
Brother Carpenter, come and sing.